Okay, so with the whatever, with the Masada trip and whatever, so we're switching this week. Ariel will give on Thursday, I'll give today. So Ariel's going to do Pasuk by Pasuk. So I'm going to do a few general things on where we are in Yirmiyahu, some general connections to Haftarah. You, if I'm about to say something, you're going to say, just stop me, and we'll be fine. Okay, so... what is the main thrust of the parsha first? Let's just get that on the table. Tochacha, good, right? Bechokosai, we're talking about the Tochacha, which, what the Tochacha come from, interesting question, what sins specifically, right? Rashi obviously quotes Midrashim right at the beginning that it's from lack of Amelus B'Torah. Pshat in the Psukim on the continuation of Bahar a lot, Pshat, Bahar B'Chukosai is primarily violating the sins related to land, specifically Shemitah and Yovel, right? Because you'll go into Galus and Az, and then the Eretz Yisrael will get to have its Shemitahs. That's going to be important in a minute, right? So that is the parasha. Haftorah is a form of Tocha, but let's just contextualize. So Yirmiyahu for the last few prakim has been dealing with Tocha, right? Yirmiyahu, like most of the name acharonim, that's what he's doing. And he's criticizing Klal Yisrael for all of the sins that they've done. By the way, we're in Yirmiyahu Tezayin. And by the time we get to this parak, we're in very, very harsh territory. Like last week, we did the Haftarah of hope, of buying the land, buying the deed, putting in the stone in the clay jar so it'll last for a long time, to know that even when you go into Galus, you're going to come back. This week, you don't get that hope that much. You'll see, if you want to read, I'll read the first two psukim before the Haftarah, and I'll leave the actual psukim to Ariel, but just to give you an idea of how harsh we're talking. Right, the beginning of Perek Tazayin, the Haftarah itself doesn't start till Pasuk Vav, I think. Yutet, right, the end of Tazayin. Last week was Vav. Right, the end of the Perek. We just look at the beginning of the Perek. Don't get married, don't have kids. Because God says that about the children who will be born here and their mothers who will give birth to them and their fathers. Because anyone who's born here will die gruesome deaths. They won't be buried. They won't have eulogies about them. They will be like dung on the ground. They'll be consumed by the sword and by famine. Their corpses will be furred for the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth. Right? We are talking very heavy tochacha, which fits Bichul Kosai. But the actual themes of the Haftorah focus on a mix of tochacha and hope, and the context, right, will be it's from the pasuk Yud Tet through Perek Yud Zayin, wherever the pasuk is of there we go, where there's a combination of hope. Combination of hope and criticism. Now you'll see that, when you see the in detail, you'll see that it's a combination, right? God is through Yirmiyahu saying that there's going to be trouble. Now Yirmiyahu says that despite that he trusts in God, right? And the way the Haftorah itself is framed. Right, Pasuk Yudalid, right, closing with Rifaini Hashem Ve'Rafei Oshenevi Vasheki Ziyata, right, this expression of hope in the original context of Yirmiyahu is not an expression of hope at all, right? It's Hashem, heal me and save me because you are my hope, you are my glory. And then it continues because, you know, everyone else is persecuting me and I need you. Everything's going wrong and therefore you are my hope, right? So it's this combination. You'll see that throughout the Haftarah, that's really what it is. And we have the curses, right, in Pasuk He, in Tezayin, right? Kol Amar Hashem, Aruar Gever, Shtach Ba'adam, V'sam Basar Zerom, and Hashem Yasur Libo. Right? Cursed is he who trusts in men, instead you should trust in God. So what Ramosha suggests, and I think this is sharp in the context of Yirmiyahu, is that the way the Haftorah is chosen, right, the way we sort of cut it out from the middle, it's almost the flip side of the, not the flip side, the Jews' response to the Tofacha. Right, this is not the original pshat in Yirmiyahu, totally, right? But it's the way we carve it out, it creates a response to the Tofacha, right? Because in the Tofacha, what's the response of the Jewish people in Chumash? Nothing. Nothing really. Meaning, right? You, right? God says, "I'm going to destroy you if you don't. If you sin, and if you don't, you'll be good. But if you do, you know, you're destroyed." But we don't see. So, okay. But what should the response of the Jewish people be? And here, what you see is that toch kedei these prakim, not just this parak, but prakim upon prakim of rebuke and threats and. By the time we've gotten here, right, it's almost final, right? This is going to happen. Despite that, Yirmiyahu says, right, even when I know you're going to punish me, still, cursed is you trust in man. Instead, you should trust in God. Right, even when things are going bad, right? Moshe pointed to a passage, and I think in Emunah Bitachon of the Chazon Ish, right, on what is Bitachon. Right, so people think Bitachon is, right? What? Trust God and? Gamzul, and yeah, but what does that mean? How do people, well, get to what Gamzul Tova means and what it doesn't mean. People think Bitachon is everything is good. Don't worry, everything will work out for the best. Bitachon is not that, exactly, right? Bitachon is trust even if things go bad. It's that trust that not that everything's going to work out good, but everything that works out, well, yeah, for the best. That in the long scheme, God knows what he's doing. Right, so what Moshe suggests is on the level of drash of why this Haftorah chosen in the weird way that it is, where we sort of cut out in the middle of Prakim, so it sounds, right, sounds like it ends on this pasuk of, you are my hope. It's actually not, right? That's not it, that's just his way of saying, right, the way you read in the Haftorah is, oh God, you are my hope. You read Yirmiyahu, it's, God, I only have hope in you because all hope is lost, right? But the way we cut out the Haftorah is almost a parshanut on how one responds. I mean, it's, I trust you even when things are bad, that this is for the better, and even if it means that I deserve punishment, that's okay. He doesn't draw this connection, but if you wanted to summarize the Rav's theology of suffering in a nutshell, it is
torture, like being tortured, like religiously enhances your experience.
Why? And right, but the Rav, his formulation of it is: what question do you ask when you're suffering? Not
why.
Not why, but
what can I do?
What can I do going forward? Right. God, right, I understand that God is unfathomable, right? The way that the Rav understands Eov.
Right,
right, the end of Eov is God says, were you there when I created the world? And Eov just says, okay, you're right. Well, what? But there was no answer, right? It's in Koldo Dido Fake, it's in Out of the Whirlwind. And the Rav's claim is that the theological response to suffering is not, why did this happen? But it's, look, I don't understand God, what's God doing. In the end of the day, this, I trust that this is for the best, but I can't necessarily pierce that veil. And I don't necessarily know what God is thinking, but despite that, I trust in God, and then I figure out what to do with it, right? At some level, that's the response that the Haftorah carves out to the Tochacha, right? That, you know, again, you read the last pasuk, right? You forget the rest of it is, right? Etc., right? You just cut that out, and you say, no. At some level, the only thing that's important is that God is his hope. Okay, well, I'll make one more point, and then I'll leave the details. There's one thing that I did note that is important, is that, again, in Pshat, in the Tochacha, why are these punishments happening? What's in?
Because you were Shmita and Yovel.
You didn't keep Shmita and Yovel, right? And that theologically is very important. Why, by the way, is Shmita and Yovel that which is going to bring about the punishments of the Tochacha?
Right.
Well, let's sharpen it.
Lack of believing in God, one year taking off the land, if God tells you to do it, that's the right thing.
Right, meaning at some level, we've talked about this before, right? It's, I think, you take the first Rashi in the Torah, right? Rashi gets it right on, that first Rashi, how he opens the Torah, that the first thing you need to know is what?
God created
the world, and that's what gives you the right to live in Eretz Yisrael. Which means, right, and we talked about this last week. Okay, God created the world, gave you Eretz Yisrael, that's why you have a close to it. Now, what is your job? What's the first thing you have to do to justify your right to living in Eretz Yisrael?
To say
thank you, right, is to recognize that God gave it to you. The second you deny that, right, the whole thing was for naught, right? You only are justified to be in the land if you recognize God gave it to you. You cease to do that, it all stops. Now, right, for those who know Rabbi Foreman connects this very nicely to the, and he has a lot of textual references, you can go listen to it, to the Gan Eden story, right, where, and you'll see there are textual references, textual hints between the stories, right, but there you have the same thing, right, it's, you have the land, right, La'avda L'shamra, the only thing you need to do is respect my one command, the second you do, what comes? Death. Right? If you don't, right? Death comes, and he notes that the Midrash connects it, right? Rashi quotes the Midrash. Rashi says, "Im v'chol kosai teilecho." Who has a chumash? What does Rashi say? "Im v'chol kosai teilecho." So he says, "What does that mean?" Right? And then he says, "So then God says, I will walk." Right? What does he say?
You might think it's the kai mitzvah, but instead,
yeah. Right? But what is Yeah, that's, so that's, he says, what the sin is. But he says, "What will God do?" I will be mithalech b'tochechem. Right, he quotes the Midrash. The Lashon of the Midrash is, I will walk among you. Where's that Lashon from? What is the Midrash connecting to? No, more specifically.
Gan Eden,
where God is mitalech b'toch hagan. Right, the Midrash is connecting this at some level. Right, in order to justify living in Gan Eden, you had to recognize that God gave it to you. You needed to keep off the one thing that God said. Right? Or you want to even go further. If you don't respect the one law because you want to be God, right? That means you don't recognize God gave it to you, you lose out. Same thing in Eretz Yisrael. In order to be Zochet Eretz Yisrael, you need to recognize that God gave it to you. You don't, you lose out. And it's that at least Rashi understands that the sin, specifically, that Yirmiyahu is critiquing here, in addition to the Avodah Zarah and all the other things, Rashi at least understands that it's the lack of keeping Shemitah. Right? It's he says that in... I think in the Pasuk... I think he says in Pasuk Dalid, maybe? Somewhere in here, we're not going to go through the deal, but Rashi at least claims that the sin that Yirmiyahu was critiquing is lack of keeping Shemitah, which obviously we collected even more strongly to the Tochacha. And again, the theme makes sense in both places. When Yirmiyahu is critiquing them, that a combination of everything, Avodah Zarah and not keeping Shemitah, reflects that you don't recognize what you need to do for God in order to be Zochet Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you're going to be punished, and that's really the theme of the Tochacha. Okay, so those are just some general ideas. You'll see it's a beautiful haftar on when we get to the Pesukim, and that we'll do on Thursday with Ariel, and then... Yes? By Midbar? Good.